Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to ProWrestling.net Live. I'm Jason Powell. It is WrestleMania Sunday, and we are here for the next hour taking your phone calls leading into the biggest show of the year. I will be joined momentarily by my co-host today, John Moore. You can check out his fine work at ProWrestling.net, of course. He covered the NXT TakeOver show last night while I covered the Ring of Honor event. And so I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about those, but we're going to let you guys kind of dictate where we go. The number to call today, if you would like to talk to us live on the show, is 773-897-6321. And you can also be in listen-only mode if you choose to be, but if you want to ask us a question, as I can see a few of you are already waiting, all you have to do is hit 1 on your phone, and that lets Blog Talk know that you would like to do more than just listen. You want to take part in the show. I also want to give you a heads up that coming up on Monday, ProWrestling.net Live will return. Will Pruitt will be joining me, .NET staffer Will Pruitt. We will be taking your calls. It'll be an hour later than we normally do. We usually go live the Mondays after WWE pay-per-view events. Well, WWE decided to release their WWE Network subscriber count at the time we normally run, so I will be covering that at that time. So Will and I are going to be on the air at 4 Central, 5 Eastern, and if you forget, I'll have all the details available at ProWrestling.net tomorrow. Also, one more thing to plug before we bring John onto the show. Well, I guess two quick things. Number one, the obvious. Join me for live coverage of WrestleMania today, starting with the kickoff show at 4 Central, 5 Eastern, and running all the way through until WWE finally decides to call it a night, which is scheduled to be midnight Eastern. We'll see if they go longer. Man, a 7-hour show coming off the 5-hour Ring of Honor show and the seemingly never-ending Hall of Fame show as well on Friday night. It's been a loaded weekend, of course. Will Pruitt is also going to be doing a live walk. He's not going to cover the kickoff show, but that will be firing up just in time for the WrestleMania event itself. So we will actually have two different options for you guys to choose from. Hopefully you're going to choose both and check out what we have to say. I'll be doing the actual report, but I'll have commentary, as I always do, and then Will's just going to do more of a live blog, so his will be all commentary, so we will have you covered. And the last thing I want to plug is Pro Wrestling Boom, the new podcast that I've launched. It's available at pwboom.com. It's a separate feed from this one. And it's I've been blown away by the numbers for the first two episodes. I legitimately did a double take when I first saw the numbers. Very excited about this. What I'm doing is usually having one or two guests on the show and discussing all things pro wrestling, of course. And I've really worked hard on the production for that show, so the sound quality is going to be better than you're getting right now today. With this being a live broadcast, I didn't want to take a risk, so you're just kind of getting my standard approach for this one. But yeah, the first guest was Dave Lagana, who wrote for WWE, and of course now is working with Billy Corgan on the NWA. And then on the second edition, I had Ring of Honor COO Joe Koff on. You can go back and listen to hear what he had to say about why he chose to run head-to-head with NXT TakeOver when it came to that Supercard of Honor show. Plus, when you're done here, if you want to get a little more of a WrestleMania preview, you can listen to Will Pruitt, who is also on that show with me. And we spent about 35 minutes just talking all things WrestleMania heading into the show. Again, it's pwboom.com. That's the place to go. Let's bring John into the show. As I mentioned, he covered NXT TakeOver last night. And John, I guess I should ask you, did you follow up by watching the Ring of Honor Supercard of Honor show as well?
No, I heard it was a marathon, so I wasn't going to have any of that at the moment. I also had a meeting right afterwards, so no.
you made the right call, because now you're a West Coast guy. I'm in the Central Time Zone, as is WrestleMania.
I know,
oh my gosh, I like, my plan was, you know, watch them both, and I did. But yeah, Ring of Honor went off the air after midnight my time. Started at 6:30 if you count the pre-show. And then I had a little bit of work to do, banged out the audio. I finished watching NXT just before 5 a.m. this morning. So if I misspeak more than usual, I'm sorry, folks. the lack of sleep is certainly kicking in. But, John, it's WrestleMania Sunday. As I always like to ask people, on the old 0 to 10 scale, what's your level of enthusiasm for WWE's biggest show of the year?
In past years, I feel like I end up getting disappointed sometimes, but this one is like somewhere around 7.5, maybe an 8. maybe brought down to a 7 because of how good Takeover was last night, and now I know I'm in for the marathon now. But no, I'm at between like a 7 or 8 because there's some pretty good action that's going to happen on the show. Even the pre-show is going to be good with something like Cedric Alexander versus Mustafa Ali.
Yeah, you cover 205 Live for the site, and you know, I mean, I know it's not the most exciting thing to start the show with, John, but who do you get a feel for? Who do you expect to go over in that match? I just kind of took the flip a coin approach, but is there, watching the show as closely as you do, has there been any hint that you've picked up on?
I think it's going to be Cedric because that's just what they've been building towards. The only thing that would make me think otherwise is. Mustafa Ali, I think you said this when you were covering 205 Live before. Mustafa Ali, like when you see him at first glance, you're like, oh, this is a regular flippy like pro wrestler guy. But you find out he's a good talker. He sells very well. So throughout the tournament, he was doing cinematic promos and like telling good stories in the ring. So like throughout the tournament, he built himself up to look like the favorite to win because of how much he built himself as. Of course, a lot of people didn't see the tournament. You know, go out of your way to see it. It was good to everyone else. But I feel like Cedric Alexander is the guy that they've been pushing, the guy who was probably supposed to win it back at the Royal Rumble before, you know, the Enzo situation. And I think they're going to reward Cedric. And, no, I mean, he's going to put on a good match, and he can be their Cruiserweight champion.
Very good. Yeah, I figured, I think it was safe to bring that up. I don't know that I was stealing anyone's question because of 205 Live just being in the Cruiserweight division being nearly invisible on Raw for the last month to 6 weeks. I think they had one match on there. I really wish they would have done recap videos or something just to kind of let people know that, hey, this still exists and it's getting better. Again, I said we'd be taking calls here, 773-897-6321. It is WrestleMania Sunday. I am Jason Powell. Follow the brand at Pro Wrestling Net on Twitter. And before I forget, John, where can people find you on Twitter?
You can find me at Little John M. That's LiljohnM.
Very good. And one other quick thing. Look at the site, folks. Great deal going on membership right now. It is just $2 for 1 month of .NET membership, but we also have our biggest savings of the year. We have a new 3-month option that we introduced recently. You can get basically 3 months for the price of 2 if you sign up. And then again, our best savings of the year on our 6-month and annual membership offers. Again, it's all available on the main page right there in the news listing. It should be near the top of the page. I think I forgot to bump it to the top, but maybe I can do that here while we start talking. But ad-free access to all of our content, audio, and the website itself, the mobile site. If anyone's been having a hard time signing up, I think that the mobile site may have a bad link somewhere on the main page. Click into my, it's going to be addressed here, but click into the actual sale article, and that link should bring you to the new sign-up page that we have. If you see a sign-up page that just has 3 options, you're on the old one. But if you see 4, then you know you're on the new one, and those coupon codes that you can find on the main page of ProWrestling.net should work very well for you. And what a great time of year, and just audio content galore. Obviously, you're into audio if you're listening to this show. I did the Ring of Honor audio review early this morning. John did the NXT TakeOver review. John did Lucha Underground and Impact Wrestling, that show from Friday night. And then tonight, Will Pruitt and Jake Barnett are going to join me for what is sure to be a marathon edition as we review WrestleMania 34. Now I think the plugs are actually out of the way. I almost forgot to mention the biggest one of all, the .NET sale. We don't run them often, so take advantage of that. Treat yourself. And like I say, it's for as little as $2 for 1 month. Just visit the main page of ProWrestling.net for more details and enjoy ad-free access. And all of our audio content for, everything print and audio-wise, we're over a decade old now. The site launched in February of 2008, so we recently celebrated 10 years, and so there's a ton for you to go through, both current and certainly in our archives. Let's open things up, though. Let's go to 913. 913, who is this? Where are you calling from? 913, are you there?
Oh, wow. Assassin 5 from Parts Unknown.
.NET member Assassin 5, a.k.a. Brad. What's going on today, my friend? Happy WrestleMania Sunday, I guess?
Yep. And you stole my question about 205. You rat.
You lie.
Of course I lie.
Well,
I got
what
two
is your
questions
actual
for
question?
You.
Go for it.
I got two of them. My first question, even though most of us despise and find him quite boring, Roman Reigns, deep down, don't you think we really do wish he wins tonight and gets the championship so we actually have the belt on Raw every single week? Because, you know, even back in the days of TBS, when Flair had the title, he didn't wrestle every week, but he was there and had a promo or an interview every week.
I guess for me, Brad, I just have assumed for so long that he's winning the championship at this WrestleMania for, you know, a year now. We've been talking about this, and could they pull a fast one? Sure, but I think, you know, sooner or later, and most likely tonight, you're going to see Roman Reigns end up with that Universal Championship. And so I've just kind of accepted it. I think that is one of the benefits of him winning the championship. I guess for me, John, the thing I'm looking forward to most about Reigns winning or whatever happens is just that the sense of predictability is going to disappear when it comes to the Universal title matches. That's been a big issue throughout the last year of Brock Lesnar matches, is that, yeah, they're entertaining and all that, and that's subjective. Some people feel they're a little too formula with Suplex City. But deep down, you always felt like, yeah, there's a chance that the other guy could win, but they're building up Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, and so the chances of Lesnar losing always felt slim. Now when we go into assuming if Reigns does win the championship, look, it's not going to make everybody happy, but at least there's going to be a sense of unpredictability again. In addition to what Brad's saying, you're going to have the Universal title back on a guy who's a full-timer. Your thoughts, John?
Yeah, it will allow them to have a compelling main event scene again. This was, the most interesting Brock Lesnar match was going back to Goldberg, because, you know, everything after that, you had Samoa Joe, abrupt ending, F5, didn't kick out. Braun Strowman, abrupt ending, didn't kick out. It's like, oh, they're setting this guy, you know, they're setting up for Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns, and Roman Reigns is going to win. So there's like, and like you mentioned, there's like no real hoping that Roman wins, because it's like everyone knows Roman's going to win, right? There's no thing against that. But yeah, so after, you know, Mania, one good thing is, so for one, this match probably will be really good, because was it at, I think I was there in San Francisco when Brock, yeah, I was. Brock
was
versus
that 31?
Roman. The play button one. The one,
yeah, I think it was
Seth
WrestleMania 31, but I'm bad with that, so I might be a year or two off.
Exactly. They stopped telling the numbers. Remember, like I said, I called the play button.
Right.
I guess that's simple for California. I don't know. They had a really good match, and even though the crowd was totally against them, yeah, I mean, of course, it's the Roman reaction, they won people over just because of how violent and Brock can work. And, of course, Seth Rollins saved the day. But, yeah, their main event scene is going to get better after this. And, yeah, that's it.
Assassin, did you have more?
Yeah, my second question. You know, for a long time, the WWE has taken away time limits. And, you know, is that them just basically taking a quiver out of their arsenal for, you know, a weapon that they could use tonight, especially for the AJ and Nakamura match, where there's really no idea who could win that, and realistically, a Broadway would go over well for that?
Yeah, I mean, it's 60 minutes on a seven-hour show. I just worry if they were to do that. I mean, I'm all for time limits coming back, but I do fear, like, all
it
right, if they were to put
it doesn't have to be 60. It could be 45, or it could be 30.
Yeah, you're right. I guess maybe it's just a traditionalist in me. Title, you know, the world title matches are an hour, so you're right. But I also want to see a definitive finish on WrestleMania as well. I mean, I'm not saying you can't have a great draw, but for me personally, I do want to see that decisive finish one way or another. But, yeah, I'm all for bringing back time limits.
Everyone went ape over Omega's and Okada's 60-minute Broadway.
That's very true.
When it happened. It's the fact that now, you know, Broadway used to be so common back in the day. They're so rare now. I think now going Broadway would actually be more of a something of a rare move.
Will your guard go up if they were to all of a sudden start reintroducing time limits? Said, oh, they must have something in mind.
Probably, but still, you know, I think time limits should have always been part of it. It just, I really think time limits should be back into it. I think they should never have gone away from it.
No, I'm with you. You'll get no argument from me. Well, thank you for calling in, and get to work on those Walking Dead questions of the week. He is, members know, Assassin 5 is the guy who submits his Walking Dead questions of the week, and he likes to tell me what happened in the comic book, which I don't like because then it kind of sometimes it spoils what's going to happen on the show. He's been pretty good about it, actually, but good guy, and we have a non-wrestling portion of the Q&A show. We start with wrestling and then have some non-wrestling silliness at the end, and that is a staple, along with the Game of Thrones questions when that's in season, and so lots of fun discussion. I watch way too much TV, and Assassin always asks some really fun questions, and he typically takes a shot at Johnny Fairplay when he submits his questions, so you got to love that. At least I do, John. But, John, I mean, anything to add about time limits in general? I mean, I do think it's kind of cool when you look at – I've kind of been diving into New Japan this year, and it's cool when you go to their page, you can see the full lineup for the show, and it lists the time limits for each match. It does bring kind of a sports-like feel to it.
Yeah, it's because good sports can tell good stories. And adding the time limit, or at least acknowledging it, would add another dimension to the match. I wouldn't, like, if they all of a sudden start mentioning time limits, I wouldn't just immediately do the 60-minute classic at that moment. But what something they should be doing is maybe just mentioning that time limits exist, and building towards that eventual Broadway match. But also one more thing to add is there are, a good six, like a 45, 60-minute match. Gargano, Ciampa went like 40 minutes last night. A good long match can be good. It could also be very exhausting too, but there's also a lot of fun that can be had, and maybe this is just me, but I like that nice, maybe 12 to 15-minute efficient match as well. Like talk about Shayna Baszler versus Ember Moon, where you get a lot of storytelling. You feel like it was 20 or 30 minutes, but you find out, oh, that was just, they fit all that information, that story into an efficient amount of time, because you didn't have too much like this rest periods or chin locks or whatever. So there's good and bad to both kinds of approaches.
Yeah, you definitely want the right people if you're going to have that long, match. Even if it doesn't go the distance, it's got to be the right people in there. You don't have the wrong people going 60 minutes, and traditionally they've been good about that. But Jim Ross is a guy who has been pretty vocal. I know for a while there it was one of his major pet peeves, and I think he just kind of threw his hands up. But he used to complain quite a bit about WWE getting rid of time limits. He just felt like it was – I think the wording he used was that it was taking a tool out of the booker's toolbox that, these you can have. And it's not just your – main event 60-minute, you can have two guys go to a 10, 15-minute draw on television, something like that. And but it's a Vince McMahon thing. He just decided he didn't want time limits, is my understanding. And John, you cover NXT. I just watch too much wrestling, but I don't believe they ever list time limits there, do they?
Nope, they don't. But I think it's just one of those things just to keep it close to WWE. That's the main roster. And maybe if Hunter took over the main roster, they might have more levity there, but I don't know.
Yeah, and whenever that day comes, I guess I'll, just knowing what a traditionalist he's been, and you can just see it in the booking, you can see it in the NXT product, and now on 205 Live, yeah, I guess I'll actually be surprised if we don't get the return of time limits if and when he ever has full control. Again, the number to join us today is 773-897-6321. That's 773-897-6321. Just remember to hit 1 on your phone, and that lets us know that you want to talk to us. You're not just in listen-only mode. Up next on the show is 917. Who is this? Where are you calling from?
This is Don from New York, .net member. Hey. Good to talk to you guys.
Wow, back-to-back members. That's awesome, man. It's really good to hear from you again. Good old Don Murphy. And is it... correct me if I'm wrong, it's onewrestling.com you do some work with?
Onewrestling.com. I did a couple of preview articles this weekend for NXT, for WrestleMania. So, yeah, I've been working with the great Bill Apter, and it's been just a fantastic experience for the past couple of years.
That's awesome, man. Well, what's on your mind?
Yeah. Well, I'd like to be able to say that I watched ROH Super Card of Honor, and I think I alluded to this on Twitter a little bit last night. I mean, they have to get their stuff together with the feed situation.
Yes, definitely.
I finished NXT last night around midnight. I started it a little late. I got to the main event. I said, look, I'm just going to watch it in the morning. I've been trying all day, and it's just – either the website doesn't work or the show doesn't start itself. And they really, I know they've been having, they've been announcing some things with the apps, but other than that, it just hasn't been working. So I'm wondering what if you've heard anything from any other members or any other folks in the business and like what they really need to do to get this thing working.
Yeah, I mean, I think it really comes down to the server, just increasing that. And Lord knows we've had our share of server issues. Sometimes you think you're prepared for the amount of traffic that you're going to get, and with this, they just seem to have ongoing server issues. I'm not a technical wizard, but when I saw the error message popping up, I watched it on Fight TV, and it worked great. I didn't have any issues, but it's a pay-per-view. If you're an Honor Club member, it's frustrating. Do you want to turn around and pay more money to watch something when you've already paid your money to see it on the platform of Honor Club? And so I get it, but it just sounds, they released that statement saying they had increased the server, I think, by 4 times, and it still apparently wasn't enough. In a weird way, it's a nice problem to have because there is so much interest in your product, but you're absolutely right, Don. They need to get this working. This is not Gabe Sapolsky and a couple of buddies now running this company. It's not Kerry Silk, and this thing is owned by Sinclair Broadcast Group. They have very deep pockets. And granted, there's only so much they're going to put into Ring of Honor. That's their choice, but they have a budget. But somehow, some way, you can't have this product out there and have this keep happening. It's frustrating, and I'm sure it's frustrating for them, no doubt about that. But it's just, it's that simple. It just needs to work. People are only going to be so accepting of excuses after a while, and there's a lot of frustration for this. People were looking forward to that 1-2 punch of NXT and Ring of Honor last night, or some just wanted to watch Ring of Honor, and they didn't get to do that. And I know Will Pruitt was frustrated today. He was still having issues getting the replay to work on his computer. Now, I did last night. I just kept checking, even though I was watching on the Fight TV app. I kept checking the Ring of Honor website, just hoping that this thing was going to work for people. I was able to get in there and get a stream during the show. So it was over halfway through, I think. So I was hoping at that point everybody had access, but it certainly doesn't seem like that's the case. So I know they've issued some make good offers and things like that. But I've heard from people that they're waiting. Just because of ROH's history, I think one guy even said, I'm pretty confident this is going to work for them, but I'm not going to plunk down my money until I know for sure, was essentially the sentiment of the email. And it looks like he's made the right call, and it's too bad because they have a good thing going. They have a lot of interest there, but somehow, some way, they need to get this up and running. That should be priority number one for that company. What else, Don? And I'm not going to you, John, because I know you haven't seen the show yet.
Yeah.
I have two other quick points, and they're both WrestleMania related. The first one is Undertaker and John Cena. We're obviously going to get some form of an altercation tonight. My question is, how do they do this in a way? Number one, it's going to kind of make The Undertaker look a little heelish that he's just going to come out and answer a challenge that he's been being challenged for 4 weeks. And number two, how do they do this where if the objective is to set up a future match, how do you not have the New Orleans fans turn on this because they paid money to come to the show this year?
I don't know that it is necessarily to set. They could have the match right here today in New Orleans at WrestleMania. What you're saying might be true. I don't know. Maybe I've missed something on that. But, John, I did a lot of talking about Ring of Honor, so I'll let you tackle the whole Undertaker-John Cena situation that Don's talking about.
Oh, yeah. It's a little weird. Of course, this is the build toward it. because they are going to do they build towards it. They're going to do something. And I think that would be enough. I think the crowd will be fine with, because they are getting Undertaker and John Cena in some form. What I ended up thinking was, like, I'd be disappointed to see a match happen at this WrestleMania because of the weird build towards it. Because it was weird. It was John Cena making a bunch of statements that don't ring true. And I mean, as far as like his, like, I mean, this is my last chance road to WrestleMania, whatever. I think the best route that they have to, you know, to take is to have some sort of confrontation, maybe a brawl or something, and have this lead towards a build towards next year's WrestleMania when they can finally get it right.
Yeah, well, I just, you know, how much time does Taker have left is the big question. Is there another WrestleMania for him? And that's what frustrated me about the build, is that, you know, this has been such a dream match for so many people that they've been waiting for this match now. It's been talked about on and off for a few years. And, you know, Taker has told people he wanted his last match to be against Cena. We'll see if it is. He's also told people after recent WrestleManias, that's it, he's done, and he keeps coming back. I guess it's not so much that I think he's going to come off heelish, because I think the crowd is just going to be thrilled to see him. It's not the WrestleMania crowd. I just wonder how many people are out there disappointed, thinking that he's not going to show up or not willing to take the chance and order Mania to see if he does. And maybe that's not a great number, but I do know it had a negative effect on those Raw shows for me as a viewer. Me watching, I'm just sitting there going, there's a lot of good stuff going on in hour one and hour two. And then it felt like, you know, there may have been some angles that took place earlier in the show with Cena. But I know, like, on the go-home show, I believe it was, around the top of the third hour, you had, you know, good things going on in those first 2 hours. Cena comes out, calls out Taker, gets the crowd worked up, and then he doesn't show. And it was a letdown. And so I just kind of had this negative feeling. I've said it kind of just had this dark cloud cast over Raw that kind of, coming out of that go-home show, I wasn't thinking about the good that happened and the matches I should be looking forward to. I was thinking about the match that they didn't advertise and not going, well, I bet they're going to do it, this is going to be fun. It's, what the hell are they doing? And so that was how I felt about it. It felt to me, Don, like it was just a weird build. But getting back to your point, I don't know. I don't feel like Taker's going to come off heelish because he didn't answer a fairly petulant challenge from John Cena, who's just been going over the top with, you know, calling Taker a coward and things like that.
Don,
you still there?
I am. One final quick point. You know, everybody, I've read and I actually heard you guys talking about it on .NET Weekly a little bit about Hulk Hogan. And the rumors, is he going to be there? Is he not going to be there? And where I kind of sit on that is I have no doubt that at some point he's going to be back, whether as the SmackDown general manager or in some form. My hesitation with him coming out today is I kind of think they were really surprised about the backlash over Moolah and Snickers and all of that stuff. And I really don't think that they would want to take the chance that on the biggest stage they would have some sort of negative backlash over Hogan appearing today.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they've said in statements that they want to bring him in, or they're talking with him anyway, about helping people learn from his mistakes. And, I mean, I don't know what you're going to teach people there other than don't be a racist. And if you're sleeping with your buddy's wife, make sure you're not being recorded if you're going to be racist. I don't know. But I just get the feeling, John, that they're testing the waters on this. You know, that, you know, Hogan was at the Andre the Giant documentary, and yeah, he was there because of HBO, I believe, and all that. But for them to even be commenting on Hogan right now makes me do feel like they're just kind of testing it out, seeing what the reaction is, and kind of gauging it before they move forward. So your thoughts on that, and do you think, John, there's any chance we do see Hogan today at WrestleMania?
Yeah. I don't think that Hogan's going to show up because, yeah, they probably don't want any corporate backlash from it. And, yeah, I think it's the right business decision to do if you're ever thinking of bringing Hogan back, would be to not just, like, rush him out there and have it backfire on them. Test the waters and slowly see what the reaction is. And if it's negative, then pull back on it. If it's positive because of legacy, then go with it. But, yeah, that's what I think.
Anything else? Yeah. Anything else today, Don?
No. Yeah. No, that's it for today. I hope you guys have a great rest of the show. Enjoy tonight. And best of luck to the Vikings in the draft in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, they need it, man. Things are looking good there, but you can always use more help. And a big thank you to you, Don. You're always a very active supporter, a .NET member, sending in show results and things like that. And Don's a good guy. And, again, follow his work at onewrestling.com. Coming up is 270, and then 305 is on deck. You can also join us by calling 773-897-6321. Remember to hit 1 on your phone. And remember that Will Pruitt and I are going to be right back here on Monday, the day after WrestleMania, taking your phone calls. Different time, 4 Central, 5 Eastern, again, an hour later than normal. We normally are on the air the day after WWE pay-per-view events, but this one we had to push back an hour because WWE is holding a conference call at during our usual time slot. 270, who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Jason, this is .NET member Tyler England. I'm actually here at the Central Dome in New Orleans where they're about to open the door, so I'm going to try to make this switch. I attended the NXT TakeOver show last night, and just wanted to get your thoughts because I was pretty convinced that Johnny Gargano was going to be leaving NXT and going to the main roster. What do you think they're going to be doing with him now?
Tyler, do you have any other? Was it just a one and done? Because I'm going to let you go. So if you have another question, go ahead and sneak it in. Otherwise, I'm going to put you right back on mute and let you do your thing.
That'll be all.
Very good, man. Thank you for calling. Always good to hear from you. And Tyler's another guy going to a ton of shows, sending in results all the time. Johnny Gargano, yeah, I for the longest time, I thought even before they did the thing with him losing, I thought. His employment in NXT, whatever, however you want to label it. I thought maybe they were going to bring him up to 205 Live to kind of revitalize the brand a little bit and have Ciampa follow to continue that feud there. But with the idea being that, hey, you know, he's reinstated now, John, I'm guessing he stays put. He just feels like he really is now a major face, if not the face, of the NXT brand.
Yeah, when I did my prediction article for TakeOver show, I thought Ciampa was going over because I thought they were going to push Ciampa as a strong heel. He was going to cheat, of course, and have Johnny Gargano go to 205 Live or have both of them go to 205 Live somewhere. You know, like Johnny Gargano was done, but with him winning, yeah, he has solidified himself as the face that. Rally behind guy that I was kind of hoping Drew McIntyre was going to be, but of course they rushed that. But he's that underdog baby face. They start putting his emoji in the crowd now. He's really good at drawing sympathy and drawing heat towards his opponent. Because part of what built Tommaso Ciampa as such a legend was the work that Johnny Gargano was doing all year. And yeah, so I can see him like just having similar problems with other people, or they can continue the Ciampa and Gargano feud heading into what I believe what NXT used to call their biggest, or they called their biggest show there, the Barclays Center one. They might be building towards something bigger there, but I don't know how you build from what happened last night. But yeah.
Yeah, I just think there's a great story still to tell with Johnny Gargano if they keep him in NXT. You know, this is a guy that he still, you know, you can have him. Now there's two singles titles he can go after. There's still a lot to do with him and Tommaso. There's still a lot of story to be told there. And, look, I know people, talent, I'm sure, gets anxious. They want to be called up to the main roster. But with him being such a face of the brand, I really hope that, you know, the thing I guess that you have to hope for is that he's a guy that they, you know, yeah, he's ready to go to the main roster, but if you want to keep him there longer, hopefully his pay reflects the fact that, hey, he's ready, but we feel like he's valuable here. And that makes, you know, the wait a little bit more tolerable. And for that matter, you know, his wife is there as well. So I think that it makes sense to keep him in NXT if they choose to do that. And there's a lot of fun things they can do with him still. So, but it's, man, was that a hell of a fight. That was great. I really enjoyed watching that.
And that heat.
Oh my God! Yeah, I was talking with Brian Fritz for the Brunch with Brian episode that we do every WrestleMania Sunday morning when he's in the host city, and I compare. You know, I said I haven't really seen heat like that since ECW, like in its peak years, when the fans would just go nuts and have all sorts of horrible chants to say at the heels and things like that. That it brought back that memory for me. It was really cool to see, because you don't, especially in this modern age where it's not, and ECW wasn't like you had people, I don't think anyway, that we're thinking that this was all a legit sport. I mean, they saw it for what it is. That was a rowdy, rambunctious, but also very intelligent crowd when it came to pro wrestling and what it is. So I mean, it just was so cool that to see the super fans who attend Mania weekend, and yeah, you have some locals there as well, but the super fans, John, they were going nuts. I mean, just F you, Ciampa, just going nuts on this guy. I mean, the only guy who gets comparable heat right now that I can think of off the top of my head, at least in North America, would be Cody, who was getting, I wouldn't even say to the same degree on the Ring of Honor show, but Cody can get that level of heat. That's when people talk about, baby faces and heels don't matter anymore, shades of gray. I like to point them to people like that. These heels that, when they're pushed as true, villainous heel monsters, they do these despicable things. That's the kind of type of reaction you can get. And so I just think it's a really cool thing, John.
Yes, no, and we talked about it. I talked about it in my review, and you were even talking about it on like Friday and Thursday, how a bad crowd can ruin the show. But this was a good crowd where I think if they did it in Full Sail, it might have been a little different, because like Full Sail tends to chair heels no matter what. I think this was the perfect setting, perfect crowd, and yeah.
Yeah, and by the way, you can read, I think you mentioned it, John Moore's NXT TakeOver New Orleans hit list is live on ProWrestling.net. My WrestleMania 34 predictions piece is also available. I don't use the odd sites, so if you're like me and you just don't want to have everything spoiled, you can certainly read that and know that I'm not cheating. I'm not looking at the odd sites. I'm just taking a shot in the dark guess like everybody else is. And this is one of the cool things about this Mania is that I don't feel confident in too many picks. I just think there, even some of the matches like Daniel Bryan, you'd think, man, well, it's Daniel Bryan's return. Of course he's going to go over. But then you have that stipulation with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn that kind of points you in another direction. There's few matches on this show that I look at and I go, yep, I think I know the winner for sure. There's those question marks, and that's what, in addition to just being a really strong WrestleMania card, that's what makes it fun. The number to join us again, 773-897-6321. We're going to be going to 305 here in just a second. I do see some of you in listen-only mode. If you are wanting to be on the show, hit 1 on your phone, because 305 right now is the only person showing up as active. So if you want to just listen to the show, that's all well and good. No problem there. But if you're like, hey, why aren't they taking my call? Again, hit 1. That lets us know that you want to talk to us on the show today. But 305, who is this and where are you calling from?
What's going on? DJ from Miami.
DJ from Miami, of course it is. I should have known just as soon as I saw 305. What's on your mind today, man?
I got a couple things. My first thing is, what do you really think? Do you think that Bobby Lashley will come in on Raw? And when Roman Reigns gets the belt tonight, do you think Bobby Lashley will come right in and take it from him because of, the backlash from Roman? So, or do you think he'll hold it for a while until the next pay-per-view, then fight Lashley? That's my first thing.
John, your thoughts on that?
It's not a bad SummerSlam match. Bobby Lashley is money if they push him and utilize him right and allow him to talk, because he's a good talker now. But, I could see Lashley being a good opponent for Roman. Their styles would mesh well together. And what are your thoughts on it?
I just don't think they care. I mean, let me rephrase.
No,
that.
Of course. Yeah, okay. I thought you mean WWE, right?
When it comes to WWE and the whole idea that, the backlash against Roman, look, they've been fighting it for years now. And they'll give you the company line about the idea that, you know, it's he gets a reaction. And I think they would love it if everyone cheered him. I think that's why they're working so hard. I do think that's part of the reason that we're seeing, like, Dana White confirming that Brock's returning to UFC just in time for WrestleMania, basically, so that, you know, it helps him, as Jake Barnett pointed out, from a television standpoint, it helps UFC in the midst of their negotiations. But I think the timing of it, people have kind of questioned, like, you know, boy, I just had somebody on Twitter imply that, you know, that WWE would be pretty bitter with Dana White for that. And he, like, he basically, the idea being, well, he could have just waited until Monday to announce that. I wouldn't be surprised if WWE is all for it, because they've had Paul Heyman say it. You know, and so I think basically they try to get Roman Reigns over, even though they'll tell you it's all about, well, he's over. But they try to get him over as a universally loved babyface, even though they will tell you that it's all about the reaction. They want him to be accepted, but at the same time, we've come this far. I don't think they're just going to have him win the championship, and then they're going to decide, oh, this isn't working. I don't see it that way. Now, Lashley coming in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a key signing for WWE if they get him, and as I like to point out to people, because he has spent time in TNA/Impact Wrestling here in the last few years, and not everybody follows every company. If you just remember deer in the headlights looking Lashley from his WWE days and this guy being a poor promo, things have changed. This guy is very good now. He's a really strong talker, and I really hope that they know that, because I say that, and you would think they do, but hey, look, the Jeff Jarrett regime came in and took over Impact Wrestling and thought he needed a mouthpiece. I just don't think that. I'll guarantee you Vince McMahon's not paying close attention to Impact Wrestling. So I hope they don't. I hope they realize whenever they bring him in that this isn't the same guy that, you know, I mean, if Paul Heyman stuck around and became his manager, well, hey, I would take that in a heartbeat too. But he's not a guy that you have to hide and have someone else always do the talking for. He's improved greatly. And so I do. It sounds like it's only a matter of time before he comes in. I'm with John and thinking, yeah, that could be a SummerSlam match, but who knows? I mean, I don't even know what brand either guy's going to be on, because I assume we have a shakeup right around the corner too. And, you know, they could easily introduce Lashley as a SmackDown talent if they wanted to. Yeah, I mean, keep an eye out for that one, people, because I know there are some, like I say, that just don't keep up on all the promotions, and they're going, oh, Lashley again? What the hell? I mean, hell, we had that reaction when Dixie Carter signed him and brought him in. It was like, oh, boy, Lashley. And then, man, something really clicked with that guy. That really good 2016 that Impact Wrestling had creatively, he was a part of that, and he shined as a heel. He was tremendous. But what else do you have for us, DJ?
My second thing is the Rio. Now he's fired. I really hope that Vince doesn't bring him in, because he's definitely looking for trouble. You know, I know that he's been talking for a while that he wants to bring him in, but after him getting fired, and he's such a flake, and not really that many people really like him as back then. So I just don't think it's that good business for Vince to bring him in. There's so many other good wrestlers out there.
John, he'll get no argument from me on that. Your thoughts on Alberto El Patron? Before I throw to you, John, I should point out, just in case anybody's missed it, he no-showed Friday's Impact Wrestling versus Lucha Underground show. He was in New Orleans, still is in New Orleans, I believe, and took part in, I think, an interview session for the company the day of the show, then just no-showed the event, and Impact Wrestling has him. All their television that's already been taped leads to Austin Aries against Alberto at their upcoming Redemption pay-per-view. I think it's April 22nd, I believe it is. So it's right around the corner. But, yeah, all their television leads up to that match. And now they've had to release him. I will just say before I turn it over to you, John, you know, I can't really feel much sympathy, because this is a company that knew what they were getting when they signed him. There were a lot of red flags there. And they've had him now for, you know, I guess probably a year. And, I mean, there's still been red flags. I guess I'm surprised it took as long as it did. And I was just shaking my head when I heard that Impact Wrestling was making it a high priority to re-sign Alberto. And he was scratching my head even more when there was talk of WWE bringing him in. I don't know what kind of hold this guy has over people.
The guy is very talented. I won't doubt him there. But Yeah, when like so when I was covering that Lucha Underground show, the Impact Wrestling one, like all of a sudden like this, you know, they ring the bell, start the main event. I'm like, what the hell is this an angle? And what I always try to do is, you know, like angle until proven shoot, in the sense that give him the benefit of the doubt, so this might be an angle or something. Wait, what? Oh, okay. Oh, I heard a loud noise.
Oh, I think we're getting a little motion on DJ's
end. Yeah, no worries. But yeah, when I was doing my audio review, I was like, ugh, this can't. This is anytime something weird happens with El Patron Del Rio, you know, it's something wrong. He's going to come out with five stories and excuses as to why he was gone. You know, it's going to change every week. And what you call it? And they were like chanting F Del Rio too. It was hilarious as well. But yeah, I don't feel sorry for Impact Wrestling as well. It's the signs were there, and weren't they paying him more than anyone else in the company? And and I agree with the caller. Like he no shows event. He no showed a Triple Mania show. There's a bunch of things that, you know, random knife fights that story changed like five times.
Right.
And of course the airport. There's a bunch. It's another Del Rio moment. And yeah, it's just like how many times he's like, I don't, yeah.
Yeah, and I hope WWE, I hope Vince McMahon, who's always had a soft spot for the guy, doesn't convince himself, well, it'll be different here because it's us. And I don't know that that's the case. I see him as being a troubled individual right now. And there's a lot of rumblings as to what was going on and why he missed the show. And, I don't feel good enough. They're not like people who were there, so I'm not going to pass along and just rumors, but I'll just simply say that, again, there have been a ton of red flags. This is certainly another one. I don't think either company should do business with him right now until that he is able to prove that he can do business. And I feel bad to a point, I guess, for Impact, but you knew what you were getting. And WWE is certainly, they have to be well aware of all of these red flags. They certainly know what, you know, they were keeping an eye on the situation because during the time he was with Paige. So if they bring him back, shame on them, at least now, you know, let him prove himself. And, you know, they sponsor rehab things. If he needs help or something like that, they can do that, and then you kind of reevaluate afterward. DJ, did you have anything else?
My last thing is the Ziggler thing. First they said he signed. Now he's saying for sure he never signed. Do you really think he's going to leave? He's just saying that. What do you really think is going to go on with him? Because they haven't pushed him really good in a long time.
All right, DJ, thank you so much for calling. I did not think we would be talking about Dolph Ziggler on the WrestleMania Sunday show unless somebody was going to predict that he was going to win the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. I guess there's been so much going on, John. I didn't even know this was a story, that like he's saying he hasn't re-signed now or something.
I didn't hear that. I wouldn't mind if he left. He needs a new light change of scenery. If he showed up in Impact Wrestling, it would be fine. He's just been so run into the ground in WWE. He's like the WWE Trevor Lee.
Yeah, it's, man, he definitely needs change. And to his credit, he did an interview with a buddy of mine, Isaac Wenzel. I don't know the radio station off the top of my head that Isaac works for. And he talked with Isaac about how he wanted to, he begged them to take time away. Like he recognized that things weren't working out. You know, I don't know how much, I don't want to over credit him because I don't know what he felt was working and what was not, but he knew that it wasn't just like, I need time away to recharge batteries. It was the character needed time away from television, and they gave him 6 weeks only, and it wasn't enough, and nothing changed. He came back still doing the record scratch, the same, you know, the pause and followed by the, it's all, music is subjective. Some of you are going to like it. I personally think he has some of the worst entrance music in wrestling, and I wish it would go away. But, you know, same look, same everything. And it's upsetting because he's such a talented guy. You know, there is something there. And for whatever reason, just creatively, I don't know how much you blame him, how much you blame the creative team. Something is missing with him and his character in WWE. And so I don't know anything about him. If he's been saying that he didn't sign, he could just be trolling. I mean, there was a report that he was being paid over $1 million. I think Sports Illustrated report. I'm like, what? Whatever that figure was, it just looked sky high to me. And I don't know. Maybe they do. I'm not trying to. I think it was Justin Barrasso who reported. I'm not trying to, poke him at all. But I just was like, you've got to be kidding me, because I think he brings something to the table, no doubt. But man, he's certainly not a guy that, you know, when you compare to what others are making in that company, should be paid on that level. Longevity counts for something, but I mean, come on. But anyway, thank you again to GJ for calling. We do have 10 minutes left, and it's going to be a firm 1 hour show, simply because Mania is right around the corner and I've still got some things to do. One of the things that I want to point you guys to, I mentioned my WrestleMania preview, and in it I included the video of the last AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura match from the Wrestle Kingdom 10 show. So if you're somebody who hasn't seen that, you can definitely check that out in my report, for that matter. I think it's on, I got it from the New Japan YouTube page. So you can, they put it out as their free match. So if you're interested in watching that before Mania to kind of compare the two, you can certainly do that. And I recommend it. There's a reason people have been so excited about this match, who saw that match previously. So check that out. But we do have one more caller. This is going to be the final caller of the day, and then John and I are going to kind of wrap things up with some rapid-fire questions. Let's go to 913. Who is this? Where are you calling from? 913, are you there? 913 going once? Oh, for some reason, let me see what happens here. I'll try to get him back on the line. 913, are you there? All right. So much for 913. 913, if you want to hang up, call back. I can try to get you back on the air, but we're not hearing you for whatever reason. So if you can hear us, that I don't know what happened. We'll go to 347. They just jumped on. 347, who's this?
Hi,
where you calling from?
Corey from New York.
From the Work Shoot podcast. Corey, give him the details.
blogtalkradio.com/workshootpod. Right now, apparently, it looks like we're taking a little bit of a break from the show. Hopefully, we'll be coming back soon and having the great Jason Powell on again. Recently, we had on John Moore, and we'd love to have on, you know, every other guy from the staff, once again, Bill Pruitt and Zach Zimmerman. But me and Jason Brooks talk the week of wrestling and try to make it entertaining and fun. But how are you guys doing this afternoon?
Trying to stay awake, man. It's been a long couple of days, but what's on your mind?
I'm sure this has already been covered by others, but the whole Lucha Underground TNA show that was on Twitch, I saw that show. I thought it was a good show. I mean, the Del Rio thing, of course, you know, we find out later on that he's basically gone from the company. And at House of Hardcore, they announced it's going to be a rematch of that three-way. How exactly do you think Lucha Underground, if at all, are going to handle the TNA stuff when their show, you know, starts in, I guess, the second week in June? Or is it just because they've taped everything, one will have nothing to do with the other?
John, yeah, see, I haven't, that's the one show that I haven't had a chance to, well, there's so many shows, but of the shows that I was like, man, I need to see this show, I haven't had a chance to watch that one. And so I'm just going to kind of turn things over to you, because you follow both companies very closely for ProWrestling.net, both Lucha Underground and Impact Wrestling. You covered the show on Friday night. Take it away.
Yes. And you can relate to this one, where I'll mention it a little bit. But, of course, I was attending the season four. What season are they on now? Four? Yeah, the season four tapings. I attended their season finale. I'm, of course, not allowed to give details because they make the audience sign a non-disclosure. But to tell you this, they same thing with Impact Wrestling. I just accepted it as non-canon. So, yes, everything you saw on the Impact Wrestling versus Lucha Underground has nothing to do with what they're building to, what they did build to. Taya was in her Impact Wrestling character instead of her Lucha Underground character. Killshot is doing, he's doing different things, but slightly different. Famous B as well. So it's just a non-canon episode. So they won't relate. So it, even with the Del Rio stuff, yeah, it's non-canon.
Corey, did you have more?
One other quick thing. I was just wondering, do you think it was because of the Chomp, because it was such a blood feud with Ciampa and Johnny Gargano, that this was this show we had no surprise, you know, new additions to NXT revealed, you know. And do you think because Keith Lee basically lost every single match this weekend, even though he said he's not coming in and he was at Access, do you think there's a good chance we'll either see him on the main roster or in NXT pretty soon? And thank you guys for having those.
Very good, man. Thank you. That was my thought when I saw how much Keith Lee was losing this weekend and said, okay, he's probably wrapping up for the independent promotions he works for and is heading in. I haven't seen anything official on that, John. Have you?
No, and I think if they were going to bring Keith Lee in, they might end up doing it at the next TakeOver show, you know, doing it in that seat where there's like that revolving seat of here's the new guy, the celebrity area, I believe. But, yeah, I think that would end up being at the next TakeOver, if anything.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think, because it was – you know, as I mentioned, I wrapped up the show just before 5 a.m. I remember they were showing people in the crowd. He's right. There weren't any like, oh, my God, this person's here. Who were they showing, though? Refresh my memory.
There was the guitarist. I forget. There was one, Ronda Rousey and Jasmine Duke.
That's one I couldn't think of.
Interesting enough, there were also some people in the audience that weren't getting spotlighted, and then because I was rewatching the main event for just to recap it for my hit list, and I was like, "Oh shoot, Shane McMahon's in the front row," and like what, and like into the Gargano match. That was interesting, but they weren't any like incoming wrestlers. One thing I was hoping for, remember, I said it was never going to happen, and it didn't, of course, was that the third Undisputed Era member would have been Mike Bennett. Or, you know, because he's being wasted at losing a bunch of SmackDown Dark matches. But
hey, today could be his day, damn it. He's in the dray.
Oh, is he?
He is. They added him on Saturday.
Yeah, no, I remember he did an interview on the Hall of Fame on YouTube for some reason. He interviewed Kid Rock for WWE, for whatever that's worth. But yeah, the great Mike Bennett, he's like, it's a sighting when you see him.
I did like, though, I was happy to see that payoff, that they added Roderick Strong to the group. You know, Bennett was a good choice. It was one when I read your preview. I was like, I wasn't thinking of that. That's good. But, yeah, the Roderick Strong thing, I'm guessing it wouldn't have happened. Like, I don't know, John. Do you think the plan was all along that, well, eventually we're going to add him? I didn't take it that way. I viewed it as more, well, Bobby Fish got hurt and they had to do something, but they came up with something really good.
Yeah, because they were building towards Roderick Strong and Pete Dunne for the UK Championship, and also Adam Cole was somewhere in there, because the Bobby Fish injury happened. Remember, they did that. It was weird where they booked this triple threat. Like it didn't make sense. So they knew where they were going to end up, but it looked like they were booking the match like they had the end goal. Roderick Strong's going to end up here, and we're going to book backwards from that, and that's why they ended up with a very weird for the NXT Tag Team Championship and the Dusty Rhodes Trophy when they weren't even in the tournament, the Undisputed Era. But the tournament wasn't that great to begin with. It seemed like they were booking backwards from that, and that this was rewritten because of the Bobby Fish injury.
Did we cover both of his questions? I know Keith Lee. I think we did. I just want to make sure.
I think we did. Yeah, we did.
All right, very good. Well, rapid fire time, John, here, because we are getting close to the top of the hour. I mentioned Nakamura, AJ Styles. That's one I've had a hard time predicting the outcome for. What do you think is going to happen?
Yes. Oh, and one more thing. I'm just going to throw this in there. You were talking about time limits. I think the Mae Young Classic and the Cruiserweight Classic had time limits, you know, where they would do the time limit thingy. But, yes, so going to Nakamura and Shinsuke and AJ, I can go both ways. I think they might keep the belt on AJ. To establish them because also they haven't really built up Nakamura well. They did a documentary. I didn't watch it yet because it was like 40 minutes. I heard it was good. I think they're going with AJ.
With the five-hour shows, the never-ending cluster mess, muck, whatever you want to call it, Joey Janela Battle Royal that wouldn't end, 40 minutes just seems like a walk in the park, but we just haven't had a chance to sneak things like that in yet because it's been so damn busy. Is it very simple? Ronda Rousey goes over in the mixed tag match?
It should be. I when for some reason, you know, like talk about Bobby Lashley. What I saw this as is very similar to the whole Donald Trump angle when they did the Umaga versus Bobby Lashley match. And then Bobby Lashley went over, you know, Team Trump wins. And then after Mania is when they put the babyface through hell. They turn Bobby Lashley into, like, the random Stone Cold for some reason. I feel like that's what's going to end up with Rousey. So Ronda Rousey's going to pick up the win here, and they're going to make her life a living hell afterwards.
Who wins? This isn't the most popular match, but one that I think you can make a case for three out of the four guys in it. Who wins the four-way for the U.S. Championship?
Let's see. Rusev said he might bring a tank.
I'm
going with Rusev. Yeah, and if they're going to go with a happy, this like feel-good endings, I feel like if Rusev brings the tank, he's going to win. So I'm just going to go with Rusev, and hopefully he brings a tank. Hopefully he flies like a Harrier or something. That would be awesome.
I mean, you pretty much made it seem like it's a lock. I mean, any hesitation when it comes to Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, I mean, the only thing I've said is, like, if they trolled us for a month with Undertaker, if they really want to troll us, they can have Lesnar win here and then do the rematch on Raw where the night after WrestleMania crowd has to watch Roman Reigns win the championship.
No, and that's exactly why I thought. If Lesnar wins, then it's just going to be, it's a troll. You're just swerving us for a minute, and eventually you're gonna get the belt to Roman, and then you wasted that year long build. So like, what the hell?
Who wins that Intercontinental Championship match?
Let's see. Where is that? This Mania's so long. But yes, they were making Miz like ultra cherry and cheesy, and like when Roderick Strong last night was acting super cheesy in the pre-show, that's what made me think he might turn heel. And because like Miz is acting super cheesy and baby-faced right now, I think he's gonna just, you know, turn that on people to draw heat. So I'm gonna go with Miz. One interesting thing to see is, do we get let's see. I don't know if Seth Rollins has a chance here, but would we get Demon Finn Balor and he doesn't lose?
That's the thing. I made the same point in my preview and predictions piece today. You can read it again at prowrestling.net. I think Miz wins for the same reason you do. He was too nice. He's going to do something over the top heelish and retain the championship is my guess. But if you see the Demon, and there's been no hint of it, no one seems to be clamoring for it, which is interesting. No one's emailed me wondering if the Demon's going to show up or anything, and so I haven't seen much on Twitter, if anything, about it. So, yeah, I mean, no one seems to be clamoring for it, but if you see the Demon, then my pick may actually change on the spot, because you're right, the Demon doesn't really lose. So I'm guessing that's why there haven't been any hints of the Demon, is that we're not going to get the character, but it might be a fun WrestleMania surprise. Who teams with Strowman?
Let's see. You know, it made sense for Elias at one point. I just think it's Big Show. I want Sheamus and Cesaro to win, but I think they were the champions last year going into Mania, and then they put the belt on the Hardys. But I can see Braun Strowman and Big Show if Big Show's healthy enough. Because the guy, for a big guy, man, he can sell and be the guy who takes the bumps for Braun Strowman, as weird as that sounds. I see Braun Strowman and Big Show winning the tag team titles.
And last one before we call it a show, Women's Championship. The one Will Pruitt has said he thinks should headline the show, the SmackDown Women's Championship, Charlotte versus Asuka. What happens here, John?
Okay, here's the one sure prediction, and I think it's guaranteed. We're going to watch them waste it. The one sure prediction is Asuka is not going to lose, right? Okay. I'm going to go with Asuka winning. I feel like they're not going to be cute, because they were teasing Carmella showing up so much that I think that's just to put it in people's minds and not deliver on it. And said, you don't want to see it. It's like, it's kind of cheap at this point.
I agree.
Carmella.
Thank you, John, for joining. I cut off John. I thought he was done talking, but thank you, John, for joining me today, and thank you for all the hard work John covering NXT TakeOver, covering Lucha Underground versus Impact Wrestling. He did the Impact Wrestling coverage, the regular TV show, and John is just a hardworking, great guy, and I really appreciate his contributions to the site. He does a hell of a job. Follow him online. Again, it's at Lil John M, L-I-L, and then John M. And follow the brand at Pro Wrestling Net. I didn't make my predictions because, well, they're there in print for you. Well, not in print. You can't print it out anymore. But as one person continues to get upset by that, we don't have the print option anymore. But they are written there on the site for you to check out. My predictions piece at ProWrestling.net. The one thing I'll add to the Asuka thing and Charlotte matches, I do fear that they're going to have Carmella cash in and they're going to take the cop-out finish by having Asuka pin Carmella during the match. And then Charlotte gets moved to Raw. Because I think Asuka stays on SmackDown, or gets, you know, when she wins the championship, because she already plowed through everyone there was to beat on the Raw side. It just seemed like they were really racing through that. And so I could see Asuka ending up on SmackDown, Charlotte moves to Raw, and then maybe you come back to that match a year from now. Maybe. I certainly hope we get a good, definitive, clean finish to that match, but we'll see what they have in mind. It's going to be a fun night, afternoon night. It's a 7-hour show, maybe more. No post-show on the WWE Network listed, but it's certainly going to be a long night of wrestling following several long nights of wrestling. If you can't get your fill this weekend, man, I don't even know what to tell you. But it's been a fun weekend. I'm looking forward to the big show. The lineup looks really good on paper, better than we've seen in recent years. I'm excited about it. I hope you are as well. I also hope you will take a moment and subscribe to the Pro Wrestling Boom podcast. It's available on iTunes and wherever you download your podcast, it should be there. I listen to it on Downcast, for instance. It's there. Dogcatcher, Stitcher, the list goes on. It's the Pro Wrestling Boom podcast. Just do a search for that. I would certainly appreciate a 5-star rating if you could take the time to do that as well. And you have time. There's 7 hours today. You have no excuse, damn it. So help a brother out if you could. I would really appreciate it. Join me for live coverage of I almost said ProWrestling.net. WrestleMania. I told you guys I was tired. WrestleMania 34 coverage begins with the kickoff show at 4 Central, 5 Eastern time, and then continues all the way through the night. And Will Pruitt will be picking up with the actual main show with his live blog as well. So we'll have a double dose of coverage for you guys. Also want to say, just direct you to BetweenTheRopes.com. Check out Brian Fritz on Twitter, at Brian Fritz, Brian with an I. He sent along a bunch of videos that, quite frankly, I ran out of time to post, but he has been at WrestleMania Week, and he was at Access and some media events and things. He took part in a media scrum with Triple H last night. You can hear the audio on Brian's platforms at BetweenTheRopes.com. He joined me this morning for the annual brunch with Brian that we do for every WrestleMania Sunday, and great guy. Give him a follow. And I think that's going to cover everything, though, folks. So take advantage of that $2 special, or save yourself some money, commit long-term, ad-free access. Treat yourself. What's $2? Treat yourself today. Get rid of all the ads, both on the website and the mobile site. Again, a little bit of a hiccup, I think, with maybe the mobile site as far as the sign-up goes. Just click on the actual article that lists the ProWrestling.net membership special and click on the link in there, and that's going to take you to the current sign-up page. So if you see 3 listings on our sign-up page, you're on the wrong one, and I apologize. Hopefully it's going to be cleared up. I did alert the proper people about that. It may be addressed by now. I'm not sure. But if you see 4, then you got the right one. Enter that coupon code. But again, all the details available on the main page of ProWrestling.net, and we'll be right back here tomorrow. 4 Central, 5 Eastern. Will Pruitt joins me for ProWrestling.net Live. Enjoy WrestleMania, everybody.